So we are now in the famous chapter of the 10th canto when Lord Brahma was stealing the cowherd boy and calves of Lord Krishna. So now this place is exactly when Krishna, who had expanded himself in so many different forms, take the forms of the Vishnu Murtis. And when Brahma, who is looking how is it possible the calves are here, but I stole them, suddenly all the form of Krishna revealed themselves into Vishnu Murtis. So Shukadev is explaining that pastimes to Maharaj Parikshit, what is happening, and it's very, very exciting story, what is happening. Maharaj Parikshit is very, very alert, like all of you, what will happen now? All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis, according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. That means all moving, non-moving, living entities, Lord Brahma, from the most insignificant, they were all here front of the Vishnu form, and they were all giving a certain type of worship according to their abilities. And many of them, they had very poor ability, their ability was to dance and sing. Very easy. Purport. Innumerable living entities are engaged in different type of worship of the Supreme, according to their abilities and karma, but everyone is engaged. Jivera Svarupahoy, Krishna Nityadas. There is no one who is not serving. Therefore, the Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of Krishna. Only himself does he see as not engaged. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to the higher position, and the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of the service of the Lord is service to Maya. Eka Ishvara Krishna Arasaba Britya Yare Yaiche Nachaya Se Taiche Karenritya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master, and all other living entities his servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dance according to his tune. Beautiful. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Trees, for example, stand on one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw that all of them, down to the smallest creature, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the serving of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita 3.27, by the words Prakrite Kriyamanani, according to the law of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As the flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. So the verse again. All beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken form and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paskatyate Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So we are here in the heart of Srimad Bhagavatam in one very, very famous story. And as I was saying before, now Shukadev Goswami is speaking and Maharaj Parikshit is fully aware of what is happening and it brings some excitement. When Maharaj Parikshit was hearing the pastimes or the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, he was becoming very, very absorbed. For example, when Shukadev Goswami was speaking about Putana demon, he explained how Putana was now coming to Vrindavan. Maharaj Parikshit became so fearful that immediately Shukadev Goswami told the verse saying to pacify him, saying, but don't worry, wherever the names of the Lord are chanted, all evil creatures have to go away. And what to say when Lord Krishna is personally present? So Maharaj Parikshit was so much absorbed in hearing the pastimes of Krishna that he was having feelings coming in his heart. He was feeling anxiety. What? Now Putana is coming to Vraj. So dangerous demon. What will happen to my Krishna? He was feeling this anxiety. And he is showing us how actually one should hear about the pastimes of Krishna. We should not think, oh yeah, that's a story that happened so many years ago. Anyway, I heard that story so many times. No, we should really give our ear as a service to the Katha. And let's see if some feelings will also manifest in our heart while we hear those pastimes. We have to follow the footsteps of Maharaj Parikshit. So on that morning in Vrindavan, I will just make a very short summary of the pastime and then I will come a little more on the philosophical level. But on that morning, they had play a lot. The cowboys with Krishna and Balaram, and after some, they were actually very early out in the pasturing ground that morning, and a demon had come, that was the demon Agasura. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj explained that the boys were so much engaged in playing that they would often forget to take their lunch or their breakfast. Therefore, Yogamaya will send some demon to break their play so that they will remember that they should eat. So after the killing of Agasura, the cowboys thought, oh yeah, actually, we start to become very hungry. Let's find a good place to take our breakfast. So they went on the banks of the Yamuna where the sand was white like camphor. There was not any trace on that sand. And there were beautiful trees that were making like a cycle and were giving shade on that sand. So the boys saw that place and they thought, that's it. That's our place. They all assembled together and started to take their breakfast. So some cowboy will put their breakfast on leaves, some on bark of trees, some on stone. And Krishna sat in the middle and everyone was sitting around Krishna. There is a beautiful picture that we see sometimes in the kitchen of our temples when we see Krishna sitting in the middle and actually exchanging his prasadam, exchanging what was there with the cowboy, and the cowboy also exchanging. Kavikarnapur said that it was like a lotus flower where Krishna was the bird or the center and all the cowboys were colorful petals of that lotus flower. And everyone was looking at Krishna and felt like Krishna is looking just at me. And they were exchanging their breakfast. Now, while that was happening, Brahma was watching what was happening. And suddenly he saw that Krishna had received some buttermilk from one cowherd boy, and that buttermilk was not good anymore, was a little sour. So Krishna just spit it out. And when Brahma saw that, he thought, my God, that cannot be. That cannot be that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He do not know what is muchi, what is suchi, what is clean, what is unclean. He cannot be God. I want now to challenge that boy. Sometimes while they were taking their breakfast, some monkeys will come. And I think for those of you who went to India, if we are taking our lunch outside and monkeys are coming around, it's a very dangerous situation. But the boys were not afraid at all. They were just looking at the monkey and they were not afraid. And at that time, Yogamaya taught, my dear Lord, if you want some excitement for your breakfast, I will send you Lord Brahma. That was Yogamaya thinking. So that was the case, and suddenly the cows went away while the boys were taking their breakfast. And the boys had the responsibility of those cows. That was their own responsibility. They could play, they could do everything, but they had that teeny responsibility to take care of the calves. So when the calves were gone, all the boys became very worried. Oh, what do we do now? And Krishna said, don't worry. You stay here, enjoy your meal, I will go and get them. So Krishna had still some yogurt and some rice in his hand and started to walk looking for the calves. But he could not find those calves. And when he came back, he saw that even the boys had disappeared. And then he understood, here behind that is someone is trying to trick me. Someone is trying to make a joke with me. Someone is trying to play with me. So he understood, oh, that's Lord Brahma. But he said, how can I go back to Vrindavan alone? What will the mother of the Gopa say if I come alone? So he decided, okay, let me expand in all those forms of the gopas and all the form of the calves. And so amazing. He took the exact replica of every single boy, the exact clothes they were wearing, the exact voice which they were speaking, the same attitude those boys had. Everything was exactly like the normal boys and exactly like the calves. And then Krishna, with himself in all those forms, went back to Vrindavan village. Now, that's very difficult to understand, but all the mothers and fathers, they were feeling more love for Krishna than for their own children. According to human understanding, it's just not possible to comprehend that parents will love someone else more than their own child. But that was the case. And when that day Krishna came back with the gopa and the calves, the mother and father were feeling same love that they would have for Krishna usually. And that was really an amazing display of affection. And for one entire year, those display of affection were just pouring in the heart of all the Brajbasis. It was the same for the calves and the cows. This loving exchange was very, very at the top. So many unmarried gopi wanted to marry with Krishna. And that year, there was a lot of marriage ceremony between the gopis and the gopas. But actually, those gopas were Krishna. They had the opportunity to truly marry Krishna. But after 1 year, something extraordinary happened. And that's such a beautiful picture. Try to see that in your mind's eyes. The Kaua boys, the Kaua men were up. No, how was it? Yeah. The Kaua men were up Govardhan Hill with the cows. And suddenly they saw downhill the Kaua boys and the calves. And when the cow saw their small calves down the hill, they could not check themselves. They had to run down the hill. Now, I don't know if you know, but cows can go up easily, but to go down, it's quite difficult. They always have difficulty. But when they saw the calves down, they just raised their tail, raised their head, and they just ran down without caring of the stone or whatever was there. They had just the calves in eyes. And the Kaua men, they felt, no, we don't want them to get the milk of the calves. So they were trying to check the cows, but they were unable. So they followed the cows, and they were angry at the cows. How is it? We are Kaua men. We cannot check them. But when they saw the Kaua boys, all the anger left their heart. Their heart just melted, and they just embraced their Kaua boys, who were Krishna. Just this affection was flowing all around. And when Balaram saw that, Balaram could understand something special was happening, but he could not understand what is really happening. There is so much love in exchange. What is really happening? And when Balaram saw that, he understand, okay, here I have to approach Krishna to ask him some clarification. And Krishna told him at that time what was really happening. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, but why did Krishna hide this secret from Balaram? Something I forgot to say is that Balaram on that day, the day of the pastime, was not present. He had his birthday. So he was not stolen by Brahma. He had been staying in Vrindavan. So Balaram said, but why you did not tell me earlier what was happening? 1 full year this is happening and you did not tell me anything. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that if Krishna would have said to Balaram what was happening, Balaram would have felt a lot of separation from the true gopas and calves that were stolen. So therefore, he kept this hidden for one full year. And then Lord Brahma, after one moment for Lord Brahma, was already 1 year in earth. And after one moment, he came back and looked what was happening. And he saw that he was thinking, what will Krishna think now that the cows and cow are gone? Will he be totally bewildered? Will he come to me and beg me to give them back? So he was thinking, what will happen? And when he came and saw that the Kaua boys and the calves were there, he thought, my God, what is happening here? I have stolen them and now they are here. So he went back to see where he had put them, but they were there also. And he went back and he could not understand what was happening. And at that time, he got a breeze that came to his nostril with very, very spiritual fragrance. And then he heard the chirping or the sound of the birds. And then the real Vrindavan just manifested to him. And then as he was looking at all those Kaua boys, they slowly started to change shape. And they become like Vishnu forms with four arms. And Lord Brahma just fell down totally on the floor and offered obeisances. And it is said that the demigod never touched the floor, but Lord Brahma touched the floor totally, understanding, now I even give up my post of being a demigod. Now I understand who is Krishna and I'm just his servant. I'm not even a demigod. And because Brahma has 4 heads, he offered 4 obeisances, and with each of his head he touched the feet of Lord Krishna. And at that time, all those living entities were there and started to exchange, to serve those Vishnu form in their best abilities. And here is the verse of today. Such a beautiful description of Krishna Lila. We can imagine how Shukadev Goswami was telling that to Maharaj Parikshit, and so much downpour of nectar in Maharaj Parikshit's ears that he did not want to eat or sleep or whatever. He was just totally receiving that nectar. So I chose that verse because I feel very beautiful this example of how all those living entities, moving, non-moving, were now engaged in service. Were now in perfect collaboration all together to give pleasure, to worship those Vishnu forms. And because, of course, here we are mainly all human beings, but we are also all different part and parcel, and we are all engaged in offering service. We are actually all aimed of fully collaborating with each other to give pleasure to Krishna. And this is actually the mood of the Brajvasis, the mood of the gopis. They are all totally in perfection. They know how to collaborate to give pleasure to Krishna. And this is what we have to follow. We have to follow the example of seeing how with all the devotees we are, that we can collaborate as good as we can to give pleasure to Krishna in all service we are doing. And today, because it's the open day, open door day, and especially during festival, there are so much service that we can do. Here is our chance to train ourselves to become a Brajbasi, to train ourselves to be tuned into collaborating with each other just to give pleasure to Krishna. That's our chance. Therefore, I decided to choose that verse. But as introduction, as that thematic, I will speak a little of a very mystical shortcut for our spiritual life. That sounds quite good. Huh? We know that spiritual life is very nectarian, but we know also it's a long journey. And whenever we have long journey, if we hear that there are some shortcuts here and there, wow, jai! So today I would like to speak of a very, very nice shortcut for our spiritual life. And this is the shortcut of blessing. When one can receive blessings, then we get very nice shortcut in our spiritual life. When we don't get those blessings, we are struggling. We are on our own. We are just giving, but there is not this mystical presence, this mystical help of Lord Krishna. And that was for me such a realization. I was in the beginning of my spiritual life doing some impersonal meditation. And when I came to Krishna consciousness, I felt, oh my God, so good, I'm not alone. Krishna is there to help me. The blessings of Krishna are there. And then later I came to understand also the power of the Guru's blessings and the Vaishnava's blessings. So we have to become more and more mindful of the importance of those blessings. Here in the West, we are so much trained of doing everything on our own, of depending on our own endeavor. And more we come to Krishna consciousness, more and more we learn about that mystical help that is there when one takes the humble position to ask for blessings. Once we were on Vrindavan Parikram with Sachinandana Swami and few devotees. And Maharaj said, let's go to Davanala Kund, I think is the name. That's the place where Krishna swallowed the forest fire. And when we went there, Maharaj said, okay, now everyone choose a tree and we will chant japa for a while. So we went all chanting for some time. And when we went back, Maharaj called us and Maharaj said, I really have to share something with you. There is something very important I have to tell you. So we were all like open ears. What will he tell us now? And he said, this is really my realization that most of us, most of our devotees in our movement do not understand the importance of getting blessings. And all, most of us are so much depending just on our own endeavor. We are not depending on Krishna. And in whatever we do, in whatever service we are doing, if we take the small, humble step of begging for blessings, there is a magical, a magi that appear. There is the spiritual potency of Krishna that come on us. And then only one can perform a first-class service. Without those blessings, we are helpless. We are so limited. When I was in Switzerland, in the beginning of my Krishna consciousness, I was following a cooking course from one very nice devotee. And this devotee, before teaching us how to cook, he would go in the kitchen, we had a small altar with picture, he would go and offer full dandavat, just to the picture. He would pray for blessings. Please allow me to teach those young boys and devotees to cook nicely. And in whatever we are doing, if we just take that step before chanting, before cooking, before cleaning, before chanting, before everything we do, just we take that step of humbly asking for blessings with our heart, not like a mechanical way, we will be empowered. If we, for example, pray, ask the blessing, oh my dear Lord, now I will be engaged in your service. Please be in my mind. Please help me to remember you while I do the service. I know I don't want to do mechanical service. I know I want to remember you while I do the service. Please be with me. I want to offer you that service. We will just be amazed how much difference is there when we can receive blessings. Just before the war of Kurukshetra started, both of the clan were ready for the fight. And suddenly, Yudhishthir put down all his armor, his weapon, and started to walk toward the Kauravas. And Bhima thought, no, what is he doing? We want to fight. What is he doing now? And Yudhishthir crossed and went to Dronacharya and offered his obeisances to Dronacharya. And he said, Dronacharya, I need your blessings. And Dronacharya was moved. Oh, he come to me to ask for blessing. What can I do? And Yudhishthir said, please give me your blessings that I may be able to kill you. And Drona said, yes, that has to, I give you the blessing. And Yudhishthir did the same to Bhishma. He went to Bhishma and he asked for the same blessing. And they knew they were Mahajan. They knew what was going to happen. And they knew that somehow they had to take position in the Kauravas clan. But they knew what would happen. So therefore they gave their blessings. But then Bhishma said, my dear Yudhishthir, you are the most intelligent. Because without those blessings, you will not been able to win that war. So those blessings are super, super important. And in order to get the blessings, we have to understand the principle. The blessings always come from higher to lower. And Satchinandana Swami said it's like the water, always flow from up to down. So only when one can take a humble position, one will be able to receive blessing. As long as we think we are so great, we can do so well on our own, there is no chance. Only when we take this humble position. I remember I have such a beautiful vision once here a morning. It was festival day. I was chanting japa there. And here was Akrura Prabhu, our German Akrura, who was chanting japa. And at that time, Shivatma Prabhu entered the temple room. And he just went 30 centimeters to Akrura and offered his most humble obeisances to him. And Akrura saw that. And we could see his heart was just melting. Oh, this is such a good devotee. He's coming to offer obeisances to me. Who am I? And he was just there patting his back. And you could feel there was this exchange of blessings. He was taking this humble position. He was going to this Vaishnava who is more advanced. And he was humbly offering obeisances, and we could see from this senior devotee so much blessings were coming to us. And this is such a good way to receive blessings, by just humbly going to the Vaishnavas and offering obeisances. How can I serve you, Prabhu? And that's where I would like to continue the lecture, by going in one of the main routes where one can get mercy, and that's through Vaishnava Seva. When one can serve the Vaishnavas, there so much blessings are coming. And that's those blessings that will give us the strength to do proper service. Without those blessings, our service will always be a type of failure. They will never be so as good as when blessings are there. And only when one can offer first-class service, the shortcut is there. Huh? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us himself the example when he came back from Gaya, how he was just looking for dirty laundry of his associate, and will just take those laundry and just go himself and wash them and iron them. Krishna also said, that's the way you can come to me. You cannot come to me directly, but you have to go through my devotees. You have to serve my devotees. You have to please my devotees. And then only I can be pleased. How many times did we hear that? That's a well-known thing. But how much are we fixed on that? How much are we looking when we see the Vaishnavas? How much are we thinking, oh, I want to serve them. What can I do? What do they need? What is necessary for them? That means, although we have heard so many times, it's not yet in our heart. It's not yet present. And we have to hear again and again on that. And we have really to try our best to go on in that serving of the Vaishnavas, to think, what do they need? How can I really serve them? How can I receive their blessings? Lord Krishna said, Lord Shiva, actually in Nectar of Devotion, Lord Shiva is telling to Parvati, whoever climb to be my devotee, but do not serve the Vaishnavas, his worship to me is like ghee that we offer to ashes. Instead, you know, when there are yagya ceremony, we offer ghee into the fire. We offer ghee for Vishnu. But if one tries to serve Krishna without serving the Vaishnava, instead of pouring the ghee in the fire where Vishnu is there, we pour the ghee in the kund which do not have fire. That means it's almost useless. And this point is coming again and again and again, all the time in our philosophy. The importance to turn into service to the Vaishnava and to not try to just do direct service to Krishna. And that's what will please the Lord most. And that's where we will get the blessings, those important blessings that will allow us to be in the flow. If you don't have the blessings, it's just a struggle. But when the blessings are there, you feel you are supported. You feel everything you are doing is on time. You meet the proper person at the proper place. You find the things you need for your service. Without blessings, you don't find anything. It's the mess everywhere. It's not possible to offer proper service. And only by rendering service, one will be able to free himself from the ego. As long as one do not do service for others, one is thinking of himself. Only when one meditates on serving others, one can come out of his own ego, of his own prison, of enjoying for myself, or being in the center. And because it's not always easy to turn that toward Krishna, we can train already to turn it toward Vaishnava. How can I serve Vaishnava? And then we are free from that ego. We are in our real identity as a servant. It seems so simple. So I don't want to go too long. It's already 9:15. One very nice service we can do, or I will say, one of the most important service we can do to the Vaishnavas is to support them, to encourage them in devotional service, to feign their spiritual spark, to never ever discourage any devotee because we think anyway it will not work. So many times we put resistance. So many times we see younger devotees who have so much enthusiasm. They want to serve Krishna in so many ways. And the older devotees say, come on, it will never work. And it's not the proper way to do. That happens sometimes. I had devotees coming to me and say, how, what should I do? I want to do that service and nobody believe I can do it. Or that there was a young bhakta who wanted to write a book. And everyone say, come on, you are a young bhakta, you don't know much. But he had so much service, so much desire. He said, that's my service for Krishna. I want to do that for Krishna. And he did it. And his book is nice. But the idea is that always we take this position of supporting the devotees. That we never ever put resistance into the enthusiasm of a devotee. I was sometimes in New Mayapur in France. It's a beautiful farm, but that's a community that do not have much members. And one devotee thought, let me make a small advertisement paper so that we can give everywhere in the tourist office to bring people to come and visit our castle. And this devotee told me he took me 1.5 years to make that advertisement paper. I said, my God, so long. What happened? And he said, yeah, I was all the time asking the devotee their advices, but they were all the time putting resistance. Whenever I will try to do something, all the time they will put those resistance. And it was like 1.5 years of very strong words to pierce through all the resistance they were putting on me to finally I could make that service. So that's the first class service we can do to the Vaishnava, to provide them encouragement, to support them in their effort to serve Krishna, to feign their spark of service to Krishna. Radhanath Swami was saying to Sachinandana Swami, I have tried so many preaching techniques or strategies, but now I have given them all up. Now, the only things I do is I care for the devotees. I give them support. I give them this care, this love. And then they bloom. And when they bloom, they take care of the other devotees. And very, very, very often we miss the point. Very, very often we are next to the main point of Krishna consciousness. We had a japa retreat some years ago in America. And Giriraj Swami was there also. And he gave a lecture that was called Chanting with an Open Heart. Sarah was there also. And the whole lecture, he just spoke about dealing between Vaishnavas. That was his way of opening our heart. And if one try to sincerely serve the Vaishnava, to sincerely care for them, we will immediately feel how our heart opens, how we feel good, and how our chanting improves. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us 3 pillars. Vaishnava Seva, Namaruchi, and Jivadayal. This compassion for others. Vaishnava Seva. And then one can get Namaruchi. If one do not care for Vaishnava, do not care for people in general, for all living entities, how will we come to Namaruchi to have a taste in the name? We have to go to the root of Krishna consciousness and from there grow. I would end with very, very short story that happened during the Mahaprakash Lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never allowed the devotee to worship him. But the devotee were longing, when will we be able to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? We know he is our Lord. There was no doubt. We know he is in disguise. We know he says he is just a devotee, but we know who he is. And they just wanted to worship him. They were trying to chant his name, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will chastise them. No, you have to chant Krishna's name, not my name. But one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on the altar and sat on the altar, and the devotees were, wow, will it be now? And Mahaprabhu said, please chant my Abhishek song. Ah, now the devotee, others too, yeah, now it's our opportunity. The devotee ran to the Ganga to pitch water. There was like a long, long queue of devotees were passing bucket from Ganga water. And they made such beautiful Abhishek and Kirtan, and the devotees were just melting, were crying, were in total ecstasy. They could finally worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After that, Mahaprabhu called every single devotee in front of him and revealed to them their spiritual identity and gave them the darshan of their Lord, of their Ishtadev. Can you imagine? But one devotee was not there. And this devotee was Mukunda Dat. Mukunda Dat was outside. He had not been allowed to enter. Now when the devotee, the associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, heard that Mukunda Dat was outside, he could not come, they were feeling sad. And they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they said, Mahaprabhu, please allow him to come. Please give him also your mercy. And Mahaprabhu said, no, he cannot come. When he is with the devotee, he said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he associates with unpersonalist. And then he said, no, Krishna do not have form. Krishna is not a person. So he's too crooked. When he's with me, he's worshipping me. But when he is with others, he's aggressing me. He's whipping me with his words of saying that I do not have form. So therefore he cannot enter. But the devotees, they were not happy. They were feeling so sad that Mukunda Dat could not come, that they were pleading and pleading to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now just try to imagine. You are in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You receive such a mercy that you see him in this eternal spiritual form. He reveals you your spiritual identity. What will you think of Mukunda Dat? Most of us will say, well, he was offending the Lord, then he has to stay out. I get the mercy. Wow. Isn't it? At least me. I will not care so much about Mukunda Dat. I will feel so happy of what is happening. But the devotees were not like this. The devotees were not happy, although they were getting the highest spiritual realization. They were not happy. They were pleading to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please, please allow him to come. Please, please. When Mukunda Dat heard he will not be able to come at all, he felt so distressed. So he asked the devotee, please ask Mahaprabhu when will I be able to see him next? So the devotee asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, in 10,000 lifetime, he will be able to see me. So the devotee reported that to Mukunda Dat, and Mukunda Dat started to dance in ecstasy. 10,000 lifetime, only 10,000 lifetime, and he started to dance. I will see my Lord. Now, how would you feel if you would hear that you will go back to Godhead in 10,000 lifetime? But Mukunda Dat was in ecstasy. He was so in ecstasy that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard how he was chanting and how he was dancing, he said to the devotee, bring him now. So the devotee went to Mukunda Dat and they said, please come now. But Mukunda Dat could not hear them. He was just in ecstasy. I will see. And they said, no, come now. I will see. That they had to bring him almost by force to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for having the darshan. So here the point is to show how the Vaishnava have compassion, how the Vaishnava want the good for every single other devotee, for every single living entity. So that's the message I try to give during that lecture, that one really come back to this essence of Krishna consciousness, this essence of receiving blessings, this essence of serving the Vaishnava. Also, today is a very, very important day. I will just end with few guidelines. Today is the open door day. So many, many people who are not used to our Hare Krishna movement will come to see who we are. and what we are doing. So it's very, very important that we are properly tuned, that we are properly dressed, that maybe we avoid to chant japa while doing so many other things, because they might ask, what is that? Oh, this is our meditation activity. They will say, what? They meditate and they do all the stuff together. You know, we have to, at least today, to work a little bit into our appearance, how we represent. We are representing Srila Prabhupada. Huh? It's easy to chant Jai Prabhupada, but we have to think deep of what we represent. We are represent all this work. All ever we are doing, he has done, is actually in our hands. The way we represent him. Also, please take time to speak with those people who come, to welcome them, to smile to them, to show them maybe the temple, to ask them if they want to drink something, and to just show some Vaishnava behavior that we are supposed to develop, that we are supposed to practice. So today is our chance. I'm sorry, I'm maybe speak a little strong. You all have good Vaishnava behaviors and you are all nice devotees. But today we really have to make a special effort to represent Srila Prabhupada on our best capacity. I have one or two more announcements. I just don't know. Is there questions, or should we just end here? Or let's see quickly if there is any question, comment, or correction. Yeah, I see Mandaleshwari. We take just one question. So we should see what is the reason of the distress of the other devotee. If it's enviousness, then we should help that devotee to fix that up. But if it's something else, like one devotee is just chanting super loud front of your sleeping room and you have to take a rest, then one can make some nice arrangement. But if we have to see really the case, what is the situation. But often, if service to Krishna should never disturb anyone, is the best, is what we know everyone has to do. So sometimes might be enviousness that, oh, this service is serving so better than me, therefore I'm disturbed. Often is the reason. So we have to just become aware. Oh, I have some envy in my heart. Let me pay obeisances to that devotee and beg pardon that I'm envious of him. And let me pray to Krishna that he will reduce that enviousness in my heart. That's super fast answer. So, I have two announcements. I will see maybe Sadanandi. Oh, Sadanandi is gone. Huh? Okay. So I guess she did not have an announcement. The first announcement is today at 1:30 we will have a very, very special program. We have our wonderful devotee from Switzerland who came, Ramananda, Gopal Kripa, Madhumati, and maybe some Vrinda Devi. Chitra is also there. So they have come specially for Switzerland to give a special flavor in our festival. And they will make a very, very nice storytelling at 1:30 here in the temple room. They will be also the main support for our Kirtan evening, where we will record a new CD, where we will have the first-class sound system, where everyone will be very silent in between the song, and where everyone will sing with his full heart to the deities. So they are also excellent musicians that came here. So I would like that all of us greet them by just chanting three times very loudly, Hari Hari Bol! Hari Hari Bol! Hari Hari Bol! Hari Hari Bol! And they will need our help also. we need actually three devotees who will be there to help decorate the temple room for 1:30, when it starts at 1:30. So who will be here? I have one hand, a second hand, is there, and a third hand. Super. So we, yeah, Ramananda? Okay. So that was one announcement. And I have another one, and then I give the microphone to Sadanandi, who will have certainly more. The other announcement is concerning the japa nectar time that will happen today from 11:30 to 1:30 in the bar house, this house on the way. And yeah, that's all. Then I give the microphone to Sadanandi for the other announcement. I thank you very much for your kind attention. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.